Kick your feet up and relax for the next 2 hours, but not if you're driving.
It's a terrible advice.
Real Kipper and Bourne here for the next 2 hours as we kick it off in the Leaf Hour. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. The Toronto Maple Leafs erase an early deficit to win their third in a row over the Nashville Predators. JB, another game, maybe a consecutive game where we could have said the old Leafs would have found a way to lose this one.
That's exactly how I feel about last night. That's a game I'm so familiar with them getting rid of a point or two somehow. They got the 2 points. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're them, you don't really care how it happened. Well, maybe you care a little bit, but they got 2 points. So we'll start the day off with a standing O for that.
Sammy, 82 of these, right? Maybe it's just a little funk that they're going through where they're not showing their best yet. Yeah.
I don't know if that's how I felt about that game. You know, I thought it was pretty boring for sure. Like, I don't think they necessarily played badly through 40 minutes. Like, I think the whole...
Do you think they played goodly?
I think the whole difference with this team, with this coaching staff, and much of the reason that I was starting to get excited yesterday before Kipper slapped me across the face was that last night is a way more patient defensive effort than they ever gave under Sheldon Keefe. There would have been so many more risks taken. They would have been pushing for offense, pushing the puck. And, I mean, what did the Predators have? 11, 12 shots after two periods? Like, they weren't getting chances.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a low-event game that the Leafs found a way to win. Like, I don't think – it wasn't exciting. I don't think they played great, but they were patient. They look well-coached. That's what I thought.
Okay, for the record, I kind of brushed you a little bit. It wasn't like one of those internet slap
contests. Slap fights?
Those slap fights?
Whose idea was that?
Right?
Just straight CTE.
The CTE championships live on ESPN.
It's gotta be fake.
No way.
We're allowing people to slap people like that
undefended
in today's world.
And I saw one of the grand prizes for one of these events was like $5,000 for the winner.
$5,000?
Yeah.
$5,000.
And that's for the winner. Like everyone else is playing for lunch money.
It doesn't get you past like the... your dental bill, let alone get to your brain.
I know. So that, yeah, anyway, that's not what you did to Sam.
No, it's not.
Gentle dismissal.
You know, to Sammy's point, they look, how do I phrase this? They look comfortable when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to have when you're trying to win a division or eventually a championship,
yeah,
is that if you can identify when things aren't going well, yet there's no panic, yet there's no reason to feel like you got to jump up on a rush where maybe it's not the best idea, or pinch when it's not the best idea. If you can have the patience to wait,
mm-hmm,
and last night was a prime example because we know what happened once Berube made the switch in between the second and third period, mm-hmm, when things really got going.
Yeah, you know, to your guys' point, at 5-on-5, the Predators only had 6 rushes over the entire course of the game. You know, that's just like, you're down a goal, you don't have to open the floodgates and start to take a ton of chances. Like, the Leafs, do they have it in them to do it? Probably, and I don't know how much of this is personnel, but yeah, they remained patient, they hung in there, and, you know, the elite players did the elite player things. Get your win. Wall was good again. Very good.
As you know, I like to bring up the state-controlled media, the Beleaf or whatever it's, mm-hmm, called. They actually had a clip of the second intermission as opposed to the end of the game address, which is rare for them. They usually put out the end of game thing where he goes in and does this, you know, good job, Stoley, whatever he says.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was in that thing. He was like, yeah, I know, just stick with it, stay patient, like keep check. Like, I don't know. I just see the clips of this guy and they're putting out the best stuff. But it just feels like the way he communicates is so straightforward.
Propaganda is working.
It is. But I like the way he communicates.
Yeah.
It's straightforward. It's simple.
Let's go to our first Kipper's Clipper of the show on Berube's thoughts last night. Clip one.
So Jake, Nick Cave okay to go tonight?
No.
Oh.
He's out.
That's from yesterday.
What happened? Like, he seems
just not McCabe feeling right.
No, McCabe.
Not feeling good enough to play. So he will not play tonight.
Did you submit all the clips?
No, listen, I put in today's clips. Our boy Derek is away. We have another guy in
today.
And he just, listen, there's a lot of clips in there from yesterday.
Did I not?
He made a mistake. I didn't put on the lineup. I forgot until right this second. So, no, you're good. You're good, Andrew. Don't worry. You know, it's rookie hazy
season. So you're just like the Leafs, except you're not comfortable when you're not playing well. You're a mess.
I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I think Andrew's probably worried, but I'm fine.
You're fine.
I'm totally fine. So do we have the overview of the game now, Andrew, clip one?
Talk before the game about the game and... That team, that's a good team over there. I know their record doesn't show up, but it's a good team. And it's going to be a tight game. I knew that. And I thought our guys stuck with it and didn't open it up and played good defense. And third period, we started to attack a little bit more. And you know, power play got us a big goal.
Okay, we went heavy on Nashville yesterday, but mm-hmm. Ruby's a little wrong. They aren't a good team. And their record shows it.
Yeah. It is reflected in their play. They can't produce a thing. They're not dangerous. That's not a very good hockey team.
No, they're quite bad. And I don't want to do it because Toronto guy, legend of the game. But the Stamkos play outside of taking a penalty last night, it's like he's not noticeable 5-on-5. Dangerous on the power play as usual, but just it's not a good looking unit there, that team.
But
they're going to start selling guys off.
To flip it back to the Toronto side of things about how they didn't start opening up, I do feel like a lot of this is personnel. You look at the Leafs lineup, and Fraser Minton is a guy that just kind of does it the right way, and Holmberg does it the right way, and Lorenz does it the right way, and Duerd. Like, they are kind of a steady group now.
Yeah.
It just feels more solid when they're in those situations than it used to be like, here comes Engvall and Mikheyev, who are good players, but they're a little bit more, I don't know, anything could happen. They're pop rocks.
Big talk after the game was the head coach's big move, right? Genius
move. A creative stroke of wizardry.
Unbelievable move.
Scotty Bowman.
The likes we've never seen before.
Let's go to Craig Berube.
Clip two.
Off his Einstein moment.
How much credit do you take for reuniting Matthews and Marner in that moment?
No, I don't take credit. I mean... Late in the second period, wasn't much going on, so I thought I'd move a couple guys around and see if we can get something going. You know, I think it was 5 minutes to go in the second when I moved them, and then I just stuck with it in the third, and they went, got a couple opportunities and capitalized on them.
How much credit do you take? And then you wanted to say absolutely zero to credit, but
yeah, I mean,
should
this
take
is like
credit.
Boy, Oates and Hull. What if we reunited them, you know? Like, what if we put Backstrom on the ice with Ovechkin?
Envision, like, Berube going to the bottom drawer of his coaching desk and then seeing Sheldon Keefe didn't take his last playbook, and he opened it up and he said, when in doubt, put 16 and 34 together.
Yeah.
I think, it's you want to give him a bit of credit. Like, he did have a good...
He pushed the button at the right time.
He had a good feel because he hasn't done that. And, like, you guys are going to make fun of me for loving Berube so much. Yeah. But he hasn't really done huge in-game changes like that. He felt that he needed it. He pushed the right button, and it worked. He does deserve some credit.
It was only a matter of time before it was coming. You cannot have Austin Matthews on pace for, like, 30 goals or just sit at 5 goals now, coming back and not feeling like he needs 16.
Yeah, I don't can't keep, you know, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he
I,
does. He does.
What do you mean he does? He does. When they didn't play together, he scored at a better pace without him last year. So he doesn't. He doesn't.
No, he does. He does because
oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, I'm just saying that I don't think it's just a coincidence. I don't think it's just Marner coming in now and Marner's gone to another level. How does a guy go from kind of not feeling it to looking like that with one switch?
You mean Matthews?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
He got tremendous energy off of Marner.
For sure. But I think this is something that energy that he got from that is something that, to me, you could bottle in terms of not going to it all the time. Because I think if you stick with them together all the time... then there's a complacency with them, and they start to get a little too cute at times.
And then you go back to Willie,
yeah,
and then that will go for five or seven games,
yeah.
And then
if you pull the lever at the right time, like they did last night, then it really energizes them, and they both look unbelievable.
You need a game to win. You start the playoffs.
Yes.
It's a done deal that 16's with 34. 34 wants 16.
Of course he does.
Doesn't want 88.
Marner
doesn't want anybody else.
One of the few best passers in the NHL. He creates offense like nobody. Tavares wants to play with him too. It's a matter of what's best for your team.
He's number one in the league right now in that creating slot chances as our stat guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Valiquette had told us there's no one close to him right now in creating offensive danger zone opportunities. And the first thing that he does is find Austin and all by himself in the slot.
Great pass, by the way, on that play by Morgan Riley to sniff it out, rim it around hard to Marner, who then pass it to Matthews. A great tic-tac-toe, no question. But yeah, if you want to, listen, like, chemistry is a real thing. We all, you know, you guys played hockey, you understand what chemistry is. When those two guys get together, they're really good. I think they're great apart, but they both are excellent, and they love playing together, so they probably want to play together.
Yeah. Everyone has chemistry with Marner. He is as good as it gets for that sort of thing.
The only question is it, like, you know, I mentioned Sheldon Keefe before. It's something that he used to do all the time as well. It's like, what does it do to the rest of the team, the rest of the lineup, and does John get a little lost right now again, or can he find that magic that he just had for 3 weeks with Marner and McMahon and just carry it over to a follow-up line right now?
Yeah, kind of didn't get mentioned on the show because they were winning so much, but Tavares didn't score a 5-on-5 goal till last game, going back to October. Like, it had been a good run for him where he wasn't that hot. So, I don't know, I do worry about losing Tavares in the shuffle because Marner does help him get better looks. So, yeah, it's a matter of what gives your team the best overall look. But you do think of, like, the Oilers. When they need it, it's McDavid and Draisaitl together. It's, you know, you put your best guys out there. That's just the sport, right?
Yeah, like, if we're going into Friday night, right, they play the Caps tomorrow, I would imagine that they start together.
I think you click like that in a game, you're just going
to you probably have to go back to it. But I do think that as a new coach and a guy that's new to these guys, I think it'll be an interesting sort of factor to see how he feels out. Because you know how they can get those two together. Like, it's great defensively always, but they get a little too cute offensively, a little bit. There is some stuff with them that people don't want them playing together. So we'll see how Berube handles that. But it's good last night.
I actually think Nye's on that line. That, to me, outside of whoever you put with Leon and Connor, that's the best line maybe in the NHL. Like, Nye's is the perfect fit as someone who cleans up garbage when they create things. And I went back and watched all Nye's goals for a package I'm doing for TV tonight. And it's mostly Marner and Matthews doing nasty things. And Nye's skating in being like, donk.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty good spot for him.
Well, it might be for the first time since Marner and Matthews have been on the team or together all these years that they've finally locked in a left winger. You want to go down the list of left wingers for these guys?
It's been long.
Like, Malgin. I mean,
yeah,
it's been crazy. And
Malgin's lighting it up
still
in Switzerland.
Oh, I'm so happy for
21
him.
Points in 18 games last I checked.
And yet, Austin's found ways to score 70 goals. 69. Mitch has been on this close to 100 points, and really no left winger.
Yeah.
Like, no, think about it for a second.
This could be the thing that changes things for that line. And they're also, you know, they're, as much as we like to get excited about young players, it takes some time for guys to find that level of having seen playoffs and the experience. These guys are peak right now. They're the best they're ever going to be. This is it.
This is it?
Well, probably. I don't think there's years better than this prime.
27 years.
Okay, but it'll be like this for a little while, like a couple more
years? Yeah, you can have it for a bit, but I mean, it's not going to be...
30 is over, right?
The line stops
going fast.
Stops going up.
It's just going a lot faster than I expect. 30,
but that's life.
You got 36 months. At 30, they're done.
Oh, my God.
At the very least, you're on the plateau, you know?
Oh, that's dark.
It doesn't go up forever.
Yeah, and is this enough to now watch Austin get on one of those heaters that we've been accustomed to over the next 10, 12 games?
I think that's safe to say. He's got 5 points in three games since he came back, 3 goals. Yeah, we've seen him do it. The biggest thing is we agreed on the show the last after his first game or two that he didn't quite look like his all-around. We said, was 70-75%.
Yeah, engaged for me.
And for me, it's still like he kind of has looked like he did when he was a younger player, where you could tell the offense is there, but it's still kind of swoopy and not as hard as we know he can play.
I think, unfortunately, this is just not Austin. This is me talking about goal scorers in general. There has to be a level of selfishness for these guys. They love to score goals, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Austin's at his best, he wants the puck, he wants to shoot it in the net. Mm-hmm. But there just has to be that now next phase of his leadership, captaincy, goal scoring. How do I make the team better? I know I can score 60 goals or 70 goals, but is it going to help us win in advance? So that's the tricky part for me, because I do acknowledge that there is a level of selfishness in any goal scorer.
Yeah.
Like I remember this one goal in junior. The puck was slowly crossing the goal line, and if I left it alone,
still would have gone.
Keith Osborne would have gotten it. I stuffed it in.
But you know what?
I stuffed it in.
But you know what? You should. Not right? Until it's in.
I know.
Put it over the line regardless.
I know. But, you know, and then I got razzed a little bit.
I remember the guy. Like, what way did Keith Osborne shoot, Kip?
Right.
Okay.
Continue. Right winger. 12th overall pick, St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
Played with me and Dave McElwain.
Well, that's good. You watched, like, last night. Tavares in an all-out sprint down the ice.
I don't think I've seen him faster.
You know, and it's like, God, it's 3-2 with 2 seconds left.
Cookie!
And it's like, but at the same time, you get it. Go get your cookie. It's a hard game. Go get a freebie.
If I had to nitpick.
Yeah.
I know Austin, and I think even Mitch, got caught out for the last 2 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, too long, but there was an icing involved. They got a timeout. I get it. Leave him out there. But 3-2, puck starts to come out, and I think Tavares had it over the blue line, mm-hmm. could bank it off the wall, gain the red line. Probably his safest bet was to get it to Mitch Marner up front. Austin with the one big beaver tap slap.
You want a hat trick.
Wants a hat trick.
Yeah.
No. Not there.
Well, you're not just there. Talking about robbing a goal from Keith Osborne, bud. He wanted a patty.
But that's the fine line I'm talking about.
I get
Sam,
it.
That's the fine line. He missed it. It's an icing. Thank goodness the next faceoff, Nashville, I think even Stammer, who didn't have a great game, just fires it out on a bad pass.
Yep.
And, you know, the game's over. But if that's Vegas, if that's another team that's better or a little stronger, might have ended up a different game.
Let's listen to what Berube had to say on Matthews. Clip 5 there, get his thoughts.
I thought tonight was his best game. I know he scored, but to me, he had his legs more tonight. Skated. I thought he, you know, had his legs better and skated better and, you know, capitalized on his opportunities that he got, which is important. That's what he does. But overall, it's coming. Yeah, it's coming, you know.
You didn't think he was very good?
Who?
To start the game?
Who? Matthews?
Yeah.
I thought he was a little quieter offensively, but I think Simmer did a great job. They did a pack coming out of the second intermission where, like, you know, you do take for granted how good he is in his own zone. And, like, you're still going to get that from him blocking shots, digging pucks out along the boards. Like, I think he was a little bit – I mean, he rung one off the post in the first period off a great pass from Willie from behind the net. You know, I think he's still at about probably 80-85%. I don't think he's at 100%. But, you know, you get a couple stick puck on your stick in the slot and you're Austin Matthews, they're probably going to go in the back of the net. So, I mean, he has 3 goals since he's returned, and we've talked about, like, he can't
– Yeah.
I'm
not quite finding it, but it is good. This would be a nice time for him to get feeling good considering how much hockey they play coming up. So this would be the right time, and Marner can cash some of that in. They can get some, run some numbers up here over the softer schedule too, even though it's busy.
This has to be, listen, I don't want to get accused of driving the price up for you guys on the Marner talk.
Do it,
but
let's do it.
This is probably as good as we've ever seen him.
No doubt about
this stretch.
Yeah. He's been dominant.
I don't know if that's true. Like
he's been good.
I think that's recency bias. Like he's always had these stretches over regular seasons where he's been unbelievable. Like when he had a 27 point or how many games.
But it's also coming off of carrying the team for 3 weeks that Austin wasn't on. That's
for sure.
We've never really seen it like that.
But he's
and
been
I
really,
agree with you.
Yeah.
All of it. Like he's quietly done all the great things that we're seeing today, but it just seems like it's shining a little brighter right now.
I think it's because, and you get named a Team Canada, and it just feels like everybody's pretty impressed with how amazing he's been. But I think we do this a lot in November, December, January, where we talk about how unbelievable he is. I agree. He is in his prime right now. He's undeniably great. One
that
of the
sounds
best.
Like let's wait till we get to the playoffs.
No, I've said to you 100 times, plug your nose and sign the damn contract. Just do it. I've said that a million times. But like, I think everybody, we've had these conversations about him in the regular season a million times. Like every.
But to Kip's point, playing good drives the price up. William Nylander and Nylander was red hot when his contract negotiations were going on. And we used to come on the show all the time and be like, we even had Tree Living on, I think, and we're like, what are you going to pay him, Brad?
We had the general manager of the Leafs on our show.
Did we not? We once got a guest.
I don't remember that.
That magnitude from the Leafs. But anyway, he's playing great at a time when he's talking money. Good for him.
Where do you guys want to go? You want to go on Minton, the standings? Where do you want to go?
I think the Minton love affair with Craig Berube is pretty funny. Like, he really loves this guy.
You know, like, the, like, movie trope of, like, the big ogre who, like, loves a little cat? Like, there's, like, a mice and men or whatever. Like, I feel like this is Minton and Berube. Like, he's found his, like, special thing that he loves, which is great.
We have multiple clips of him talking about Minton. Like, he went on about Minton. He compared Minton to his work ethic and everything to John Tavares at one point earlier. He's like John Tavares. You know, but we'll go with the first one of elevating Minton, clip six.
I thought he was, get some chances, around the net, shot pucks. Just liked his positioning, his poise out there, all that. So just put him to the wing. And when I switched those lines up and, he was solid for me tonight, all around. Finished with 7 hits, 5 shots. You know, he's poised out there. He doesn't panic. He's always in the right spot. So,
he bought me a beautiful lunch.
Yes.
Like,
I like his haircut.
He delivers, food to, underprivileged children. Like, what else for him?
He's setting them up that they're going to get healthy and.
So
I don't want to lose them. That's what's going on.
Well, I'm getting choked up thinking about my Craig Berube. But this is clip 9. This is from today. They talked about it more, and bear with the audio here. They decided instead of having the media availability under a fan, they decided to do it right beside a crossbar. But here is clip 9, please, Andrew.
It would be the automatic guy to send down, given he doesn't need waivers. But is he making that more difficult if you guys are all healthy or...
No, definitely. I mean, if he can help us, I want him here. Like, that's how I look at it. I mean, he's the type of player that we like.
Does having
a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Don't take away my teddy bear.
Is it harder to send him down? Yes, it is.
I'm sure Brett Treliving and Brendan Shanahan will take that in a heavy consideration. Mm-hmm. But if it may cost you some depth, i.e. losing someone in the waiver wire, then they still might have some hard decisions to make.
Yeah, like as much as, I have been hard on Pontus Holmberg, which, by the way, has purely been because he is not offensively capable of playing with Mitch Marner.
Yeah, that guy's getting claimed.
For sure. Absolutely getting claimed. He's a very good... I'll pump the brakes there. He's an NHL player.
He's a extremely fine hockey player. Yeah. Fine.
Nick Robertson has not scored... I don't see a world where he clears waivers either.
No chance. Not a chance he clears waivers. So it starts to get like Grabankin can go first.
Mm-hmm.
Is Steve still around? I don't think so, is he?
No, he went back down. He wasn't waiver eligible, but it was like a 10-day. There's like a certain loophole that he fit into, so he went back down.
Let me ask you, rather have Holmberg or Doer?
Dewar. I've liked Dewar.
Probably Dewar.
See, it's a... Are we more comfortable with Dewar playing center than Holmberg?
Yeah. I like that fourth line, you know, having him out there and he seems responsible. I don't know. He just hammered somebody
last
night.
I just like a bigger, heavier body.
It's fair. He's not very big at all.
You know, he does have a 10-goal NHL season.
How? We need to study that one.
I'm going to go back and watch them all.
But anyways, it's... I don't think Max Domi's ready to play this weekend, but he's getting close.
Yeah,
you know who else is getting close to?
Who?
Patches.
Patch. Patch ready. He's ahead of schedule.
Hmm. Like you think in the next week or two?
Well, when? Yeah, I do. Do we know when he went on the IR and when he's eligible to come off of it?
No, but we could figure that out, I'm sure.
Is it 10 games?
When's Yarncroc eligible? No, we're not even mentioning his name.
He got surgery here.
All right, well, let Sam look that up. Yeah. Why don't we listen to the last Berube on Minton, then we'll be done with him, which is clip. Are you done with Minton? You had enough?
Okay, let's go.
All right, clip 10, Minton on the plane the wing.
Minton.
Yeah,
Minton.
I think centermen in general can go to the wing. I don't think it's a big change, you know. I had Robbie Thomas as a young 18-year-old, or maybe he's 19, in St. Louis, and I played him on wing most of the year. He did not play center until the next year coming in. So, you know, and he did a great job for us. You know, he's playing in the playoffs and everything. So I don't think going to the wing, whether he plays the wing tomorrow or not, I think he's a versatile guy that can handle that. I don't think it's a big change from a centerman to go to the wing.
I wonder if that gives him a better chance of sticking around. What?
Oh, I'm just laughing because
they had their.
It's almost as if every team, there's always like this little public kind of love affair for a coach and a player.
Yeah.
And my year at Hartford, I scored like 17 goals at 300 penalty minutes, and Al Peterson and a few of the guys on the team would be calling me Homer Jr. Paul Holmgren was our coach.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, they'd be calling me Homer Jr. And I'm like, I hated that, right? And
not then, a bad spot to be when the coach loves you, though.
I know a few years ago when Babcock was around, he had the big love affair for Zach Hyman because Zach was on riding shotgun with Austin and all the top centermen. And I think Matt Martin always gave it to him as being Babcock's son.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like,
what did they say about Kerfoot and Keefe?
I think that was Keefe's favorite guy.
I didn't get that sense.
What? He put him in the top six 100 times. Like,
they didn't have anyone.
We did more for Flex Seal than anybody.
I guess.
But anyways,
right.
maybe that's now Berube and Minton.
Yeah, maybe the playing wing thing gives him some viable longevity with the Leafs. You know, it's not hard to see a fourth line where he's the reliable guy with a little bit of offensive upside.
So just to go back to your point, Pat Treddy was placed on IR on November 11th. Mm-hmm. So that's quite some time ago now. So
he's eligible soon here.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, though, there's no way Minton's here for playoffs, right? He would have to have such a good year.
All I'll say is watching the game last night.
Crazy game.
It is. Okay?
It's a crazy game.
All I'll say is watching the game last night, and it was 39 in the top six instead of 29. I was like, oh, thank God.
I know.
It's like, oh, thank God. They're bouncing pucks off Holmberg. He doesn't know where it's going.
Holmberg
like,
had when Marner tried to hit him back door, and Holmberg was just like, oh.
Yeah.
That coming.
Oh,
it's like, you should.
Is that a puck? Yeah. What is that? Like, I can't
anticipate that.
I was not enjoying it.
I don't know if, like, it's very seldom that you get a young kid that can turn into, like, the early success of a Wyatt Johnson in Dallas. Mm-hmm. But there's a guy that a lot of people didn't envision last year being a key part in the playoffs.
Yeah.
For Dallas real early when he made the team.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where Minton stands, but I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked now to see him somehow find a way into the lineup, maybe in an early playoff round.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Our thoughts on this guy have changed,
and might be some shifting going on with the lineup.
Huh? Oh, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm just hearing what everybody hears.
Oh, what's everybody hearing?
Brad's making calls. And
he's busy.
Busy, and there's just no way that the team's going to, this team that we saw last night will be the team in April.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to,
is it going to be the team in January is the question.
Is it going to be before Christmas break?
No, no, I don't. I don't get that sense. Okay. I think let the cap get eaten up a little bit, free some people up, and then January, February, we're going to start hearing some names being linked to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's going to be fascinating. Like, let's say they had back right now Pacioretty, Domi, and Yarncroc. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at that lineup, and all of a sudden, Minton, Grabankin, Holmberg or Dewar, you know, like it's a really deep lineup at that point.
Yeah.
Well, I did not have this early success of Pacioretty, and he came in and gave them a real physical presence, and you just hope he picks up where he left off because that is something that when we've seen other players like a Thornton or even I know Marlow came in with a big contract and a lot of still decent years, but Patch is like for free and he's on bonus time for the Leafs.
It's
as far
so
as
funny
I'm
though, because to me that was Giordano for them last year, and you were all over Giordano all year long. He was free, and I thought he was effective. I think they're like the same guy for me, where it's like it's great.
Yeah, except defense is way more pivotal for me than
a winger.
A winger.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's fair,
right?
I mean, that's totally fair.
Just the speed was an issue for me, for Gio. That eventually the wear and tear over the course, and he was as competitive as can be. And to your point, he gave them some really good nights, really good nights. But
he gave them all they had.
When you needed it at the end, it was not there.
He's supposedly skating right now, sniffing around.
Oh, he is. I think he's going to play in the Spangler Cup, is it? Christmas, or at least wanted him.
I saw that in your article. That's where I saw that.
They wanted him. I don't know if he'll go, but he was sniffing around. I know Edmonton, like, he wanted to go to Edmonton.
I'm not sure they don't immediately get better with it.
I'm not. I totally agree with you. Know? Like, he can
just
give
another
you,
Leaf heading out to Alberta.
He can give you some decent
minutes. If he
gives
you 15 hard, even strength minutes and some PK block
in
shots.
January and
actually, they
February.
Need PK help too, don't they?
Yes.
Okay.
When it comes for the Oilers.
So,
oh, poor Flames.
I have a little.
Do we get a cut if he signs there?
We should.
I just had a little thing watching that game last night, a pitch to you two guys. You know, I watched everybody who says Grabankin, oh, what a big player, what a big player. And then he ran into a big player, Luke Shen.
Yeah, he got smoked a couple times.
Luke Shen. He eats up big men.
There's big men, and then there's Luke Shen.
Yeah.
I got to ask you the question, boys. Bring Luke home.
Where? New Hawk and Paw.
Why not?
Didn't he get Nashville paid him?
Not too bad. $275
They just signed a guy that's on next? Team Finland.
Hawk and Paw is not going to play.
Do you know there's like just seven Finnish defensemen in the whole league and they're all playing in this thing?
He had surgery, by the way. Hawk and Paw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had surgery. Oh, just a little procedure on his knee.
He did?
Yes.
When?
Just, I don't know. It's about to happen.
A minute ago?
No, he's already had it, I think.
Let's listen. Clip 12, Hawk and Paw update.
Well, he'll be back on the ice soon. and then... You know, he's good to go. He got something done, a little procedure done, to help himself out a little bit. And he just needs a few days, and then he'll be back on the ice and, get up to speed again and be ready to go.
Was he in Berlin?
Again, he's just giving you a little bit. I'll extend Craig Berube's comments. He got a little procedure. He's going to come back. He's going to be good to go.
He's going to
take another break.
Yeah.
He's going to get another little procedure.
Drain his knees, swell up like a watermelon.
And then he's going to get going again. And then March will roll around, and we're going to lose him again. And there's going to be a little procedure. And we're going to just take this right into April.
And every 2 weeks, Hawk and Paw's checks are going to clear.
So, to my point, bring Luke home. Morgan Riley's never looked better with anyone else than Luke Shen. They were excellent in the playoffs the year they actually won a round. Tough, knows the market, professional, defensive defenseman. The way that opens up their decor, if you're playing them together.
I just, you know, it's going to, you know, it does a slow decline.
Yeah, but it's
is a
this
slightly
year and
worse.
It's not like it's a 10-year contract.
It's so much money, though.
It's not that much. The Cavs have to go to $100 million.
No, it's not about
give me a break.
It's not about to.
It's not too much.
It will, but it's not about to. And, Sammy, if they wanted to keep him with that contract, they would have signed him before he even left.
Yeah, but okay?
Although it's you different can ask scenario. Nashville to retain.
It's a different scenario now.
Yeah, you can, but so can 12 other teams. Mm-hmm.
I know old Hakanpaa is a star for Team Finland, but I don't like relying on him, and they need more of that element on the decor. And Luke Shen is tough. He hammers guys.
I've heard
guys.
Worse ideas.
Bring them home.
If they will retain half of that, I've heard worse ideas.
And they're going to blow it up. They stink.
Send him a pick. Send him Nick Robertson. They need some
Done
scoring.
Deal.
They need scoring. Robertson for Shen would be a hilarious contrast.
Anyway, so you're just, both you guys are out on that?
No, you need to retain.
There would be a dozen teams that would love him. And if the Leafs could get him and you knew what he did before he left, just most recently, who wouldn't want him?
He was here last year, right?
No,
last
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah. When they won that round and he beat the crap out of Tanner Janot and beat the crap out of Pat Maroon and shut down everybody.
He was an integral part of that
victory.
He was
massive.
But don't you just want to, like, don't make Gladiator 2? Don't you just want to end it so perfectly?
Don't you go there.
It was perfect the way it ended here for Luke Shen.
Don't you go there.
Okay, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
Later on in the show, we're going to welcome in David Amber as well. Plenty more. And Keith Jones, president of the Philadelphia Flyers, I think, will join us.
Yeah.
Plenty still more on Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Leaf Edition of Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. So we got some internet love, from those guys on the street?
Oh, yeah.
Fan First Network.
Yeah. Just to shout them out. Remember their name, we were told.
Yeah, remember their name. They're abrasive.
But they're working their asses off.
Aggressive.
Now it's cold out there.
They're grinding.
They are. They're
got
working
their
hard.
Microphone out there.
Way to go, boys.
Love it. Hey.
Keep it up. We need people like you. Passion.
I love all the Four Nations stuff. We're going to talk to DA at the top of the hour about the Four Nations team and all the release or whatever. But I don't know who would have done this for Sportsnet, but they put together the, like, omissions team.
Yeah.
The snub team. And I asked Jen to grab this.
Oh, good job. That's great.
So she put up the all snub team.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. If you're looking, watching on Sportsnet or you're watching on YouTube later, you can see this. I look at that team, and
it dummies the Finnish team.
I mean, that's, first of all, that's a silver medal team to me. Secondly, I completely understand the John Tavares not on team one, like not a Team Canada guy, like at this point of his career. But like, whoever put this together, give your head a shake.
No Tavares in there bothers you.
Stop it for a second and listen. I want to acknowledge that John is having a very good season.
He was the first-line center for a month on the best team in the Atlantic.
Between Scheifele, Celebrini, Suzuki, and Thomas, who are you taking out?
Nick Suzuki. Easy.
No.
Done deal.
No.
Macklin Celebrini, out. John Tavares has played for Team Canada at every level. He's played World Junior, Olympics, World Championship. Anything, he's on the team. If he's playing wing, Matt Duchesne, you're gone. Whoever put this together, shame on you.
It's tough. You know,
no, it's not.
It's just the window has passed.
No.
And unfortunately has passed for Stamkos too, guys. Okay? It's just the window is gone.
I disagree. I think that this is this is a moot point and it doesn't matter. But to me, John Tavares has been so beaten down by people like me. Don't get me wrong. I've been in the camp.
He was like the highest, second highest. Where has he been beaten down?
No, it's by people saying that he isn't.
No,
like,
Sam's right. What are you talking about? We're hard on him.
They literally stripped the C off of him this year. Like he's taken
a
lot of crap.
He's not a great captain.
Anyways, what I'm saying is he has gone from overrated to totally underappreciated. Like it's happened overnight here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're putting together a 12-forward omission and John Tavares, who played first-line center for a team that's leading the Atlantic Division and is a point per game, can't get on the omissions list?
Give me a break.
Hey,
point a game.
Give me a break.
I like this energy.
Point
a game.
No, like, I'm not Mr. John Tavares. I'll criticize him as much as anybody, but I was blown away by that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It didn't help.
Morgan Riley was the captain
of the World Championship team. They didn't medal.
I know. Okay? They almost lost to Germany. I know, but he wouldn't be the captain of the... He's not on A-team.
He's not even close. You're upset that Morgan Riley's not on the
He should be on there,
list.
Too.
Yeah.
He should be on there, too. Tanev and him.
He hasn't been strong enough this season.
Anyways.
Morgan.
Sorry to my colleagues that put that together.
I hope that Morgan not being named on Team Canada lights a fire under him.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to have a newborn.
It is hard. And when you're talking about the elite, the best, and you're this much worse, it makes a difference. And it's hard. I saw an interview he did recently with, God, I'm so mad I can't remember who it was, but he said, like...
Is it Cloak?
No, it was an in-person one. But anyway, he said that, like, you know, trying to get sleep's a struggle right now. It's a challenge.
Anyways.
Everybody's been through it.
Yeah.
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 It's not new.
No, it's not new, but that doesn't... Neither is getting punched in the face. Still sucks to get punched in the face.
But you got
to
manage it. You got to overcome it. We just had Mark Messier talking about... No excuses. Come on. Just find a way.
But that's not, okay? I hate that because it's not an excuse. It's something he's dealing with, but it is a complicating factor. You know, it makes things 1% harder for him to manage. He's not complaining about it. I'm doing it for him.
Many have found a way to manage it and be great.
Yes.
That's your job now to do that.
He's not complaining. I'm saying it could be a difficulty and part of the reason he's 1% worse.
So you're telling me John Tavares is one of the 26 best Canadian forwards in the league this year?
I guess that's what I'm saying, Brooksy.
It's crazy.
I also want to talk about Nylander. Did you guys have any thoughts last night on him? I've never seen him talk to the ref that much.
He went full Kyle Lowry. His brother got scratched and he's like, I'm pissed.
All over the official last night in a way I've never seen him before.
That was a bad look.
Just frustrated. Like,
yeah, I think he was frustrated.
It's just not
actually
going in. He's having a good year.
It's just not going in at the same rate it was earlier in the season. I think he came out of the gates pretty on fuego, and he just seemed really frustrated last night.
He ended up scoring.
He did.
He actually almost missed a wide open net on a great pass by Matthew Nyes. But even the thing that he was frustrated about, because it was that behind the net play, like on the first or second shift of the game, I didn't really think it was much of anything. It was kind of like they got tied up and he was pissed off.
People on the internet thought he gave Nick Robertson a bit of a hairy eyeball.
Well, yeah, he did.
Which one?
Did you see it?
I did see it.
Yeah.
So it was a play where I saw it live.
Tried to stick handle right to the net.
Yeah, and he's sitting there with
Willie
a stick on the ice.
Was off the post and thought maybe he could have slid the puck over and then maybe Willie thought he could have a walk around the post for an opportunity, but I don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes on those things.
It can be, but I think if he did give him a hairy eyeball or almost did and he's talking to the official all night, you kind of feel like a guy who really wants it and just felt frustrated for whatever reason.
And can I be honest about something? You should pass it to Willie.
That's not
the first time when he should have passed it to Willie.
Thinking of the 2-on-1 the other day? Yeah.
Are you the one that's...
With Willie opening up.
Yeah.
I think it was you that was talking about how Robertson, it's just like... Hockey to him is called Nick Robertson.
Yeah.
And it was never more evident last night.
He got his goal. Oh, yeah.
No, it's just like he's so tunnel vision offensively.
I actually wonder if, you know, we've talked about, boy, six guys injured and he can't get it in the top six. I wonder if part of the problem is, you know, the top six guys going, I'm not playing with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I'm not. So if I give it to him, I'm never getting it back. Like, I would rather not. Like, it's like the anti-Marner situation where the puck's going to land on your stick in the sweet spot every time, or you're going to watch Robertson shoot it into a goalie's chest.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Anyways.
Nashville did manage to score the first goal, which was crazy, but that would have been a goal if Samsonov was in the net last year. We would have been like, click. I'm not even watching the rest of this game.
Was it the shorthanded one you're talking about where Wall got a little piece of it? He made such a great save there.
Yeah.
You know,
but the goal the first goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Weirdest bounce you could ever see.
Weirdest.
Oh, that one. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the Marchessault one was insane. I don't even know. like none of the replays showed where the, how the puck got there for the longest time. I was trying to figure out what happened. That is the most bizarre bounce I think I've ever seen.
And credit to Marchessault for skating to the goal. Like he picked it up immediately,
but
skated
that's what
on
you're
the goal.
Supposed to do
for sure.
You cannot give credit to somebody that's supposed to go to the net.
He did it, but I mean, like he shot it. It hits the end glass. Skating into the blue paint like isn't exactly what you're going
to
do.
Calling Berube a genius last night for putting 34 and 16. You're supposed to go to the net, Sammy. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. And he's making $6 million.
Yeah. I thought it was a good play by him. Followed up it.
Yes.
And he batted it in out of midair, and it was pretty much their only good moment.
Joseph Woll now 6-0-0 his last six starts.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong. Pick a goalie on the Leafs to play. Can't go wrong.
Kind of looking pretty good here. I imagine they'll both get in on the Friday and the Saturday, the back-to-back here. It's Friday, Saturday, right?
Yep. Yeah. Washington on Friday night and then Saturday night in Pittsburgh to play the all of a sudden red-hot Penguins. Mm-hmm. I think they've won 4 or 5 in a row here now, so they're getting hot.
Oh, I watched them lose a 4-1 lead the other night to Florida like it was nothing. They won it in overtime. Good on them for the 2 points, but it wasn't pretty to hold on.
You know, curious to see what the Penguins end up doing here. You know,
the Penguins have beaten some good teams here in the last little bit. They beat the Canucks, who are good. They beat the Florida Panthers, who Kipper just made fun of them for. Beat the Flames, beat the Bruins. Some decent wins in there.
Not bad. But like you hear they're interested in like Nils Höglander. You know, it's
that's. The most stupidest player of all time.
You're going to go get another 5'10" guy who scores 20 goals. That'd be great. But they're trying to figure it out there. Mostly they just need goaltending like so many teams, right?
Yes, sir. Anyways, it is really, again, I'll say it like I said yesterday without Kipper giving me the hairy eyeball.
It's great.
The Leafs goaltending is making me feel very different.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another night where, you know, it wasn't even his best night. Like he made some great saves, but it's their standard. Is their standard of okay is so much higher than I'm used to seeing ever for Leafs goaltending.
And I just think it's the one thing that stands out for me. It looks like it's never been easier.
Like just to get through to the wins.
To be a goalie for the Leafs.
Oh, to be a goalie.
No, to be a goalie for the Leafs. Yeah. When there's a level of predictability on guys not gambling or losing positioning, the number of block shots that I continue to get. It's got to be nice a feeling for both those goalies right now.
Yeah, waking up today, the Leafs, hottest team in the NHL, 8 wins in the last 10 games. Also, in the past, they were struggling with regulation overtime wins or whatever. One of the top teams league-wide there. They're 2 points up in the Atlantic Division over Florida with a game in hand on them. So, you know, this is kind of a time to make hay as they're getting a little bit healthier, some soft games ahead, and it just feels more than other years, if you are going to believe in them, that the table is set for them to actually win the division.
Yeah.
So, Kip, I talked about this with Sam the other day. Mm-hmm. Boston kind of figuring it out a little bit, are they not? Like, I still feel like they could very well end up playing them, whether it's 1v8 or 2v3. That could very well be their first-round matchup again.
Thanks, Gary.
It doesn't seem like... And again, we talk about blown leads. How about Buffalo the other night?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
There's reporters now calling for like somebody get fired there. Somebody get traded. Somebody get sent down.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is watching them blow a 4-0 lead to Colorado the other night. But Sabres, Red Wings tonight, Detroit and Ottawa. Like, if you want to talk about almost a must win for the Ottawa Senators, talk about that. But just to kind of bring it around full circle here, yeah, Boston seems to be like they're going to be 4 coming out of the Atlantic.
Yeah, it does feel like there are. I guess it's, for me, the Bruins are doing, they've kind of changed a little bit since they moved on from Montgomery. A little bit lower event, a little bit. I think they'll make goaltending a little bit easier as a team. And then, you know, if you get into a playoff series with them, they're still going to have Swayman, who can get hot. They're still going to have McAvoy and Pasternak. And, you know,
the bottom.
You got to slay the dragon sometimes to get to the
Bottom four teams in the Atlantic by point percentage: Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, Montreal.
Okay,
your Atlantic division.
Fast Leaf Hour. We're not even halfway through. We got National next. David Amber, studio host, Hockey Night in Canada, NHL Network on Sportsnet, is next. Stick around.